All right, we just have, I think this is a short one. This is just two presenters for our last section this afternoon. So I want to welcome Jenny Mundy up to talk about web archiving for public officials. Coming up.
Bringing my tea.
Good.
Just have to do this. Do I just go forward? Yes. Okay. So just a few slides. I have a little bit of a different approach to web archiving, I imagine, than a lot of folks who are working at universities or nonprofits or organizations that perhaps don't have to follow state and government regulations to the same degree that we do. So our public records obligations really dictate the records that we have to put as a highest priority for capture. You know, of course, the things like anything that could potentially cause litigation or large loss of money if we were to lose it, but also records that document our historic value. So we do have a state requirement to preserve certain records as archives, and so we need to make sure we're complying with that. So it's not just our collection policy, but state mandate. So the specific requirement that affects us most for, because going back, we are looking primarily at our public elected officials, is that any publications they put out are automatically considered to have a mandatory permanent retention. So when we were thinking about, you know, what form does that take these days, there are a couple of newsletters left, but mostly it's published on websites and social media. So that's all of our board members. We have five board members with a chair as one of the five, and they represent different districts around Multnomah County. So that is the county we're in right now. And then also working with our communications office. So our communications office is really the voice piece, is that the right phrase? They're really the public-facing persona of the commissioners. They support the county values and missions. They highlight different projects and initiatives that the commissioners are undertaking. And so they're the ones who are publishing content that's serving in a lot of ways as press releases for the media, highlighting for taxpayers how we're spending their dollars going, to support those values and missions, whether it's reducing human trafficking in Multnomah County, addressing the fentanyl problem that seems to be more and more widespread, and all these big social issues that are getting a lot of attention in the news. People want to know, our community members want to know how we're using our tax dollars immediately now to address that. And then we have researchers coming in later on looking back and saying, well, what did you do in the past? One issue that's come up that I wish we could have had archive it several years ago was when Multnomah County passed a resolution saying that we would permit same-sex marriages, we would issue marriage licenses, and it stood for several months until, the state courts said we couldn't do that anymore. But it served as a model for when there was a statewide passing of same-sex marriage. So that was something people had come back in and said, where are these archives? We didn't have them, but it did help us build a case for getting archived. And then, on the bottom part again, the direct media contact. So all direct media contact goes through that communications office. So they really know what the most important content is going to be to publish online to connect with our community. So that they've been both a really important ally in supporting web archiving, but also in creating the content that really helps to document the work that the county is doing that's so important for our historic record. Another component has been when the commissioners are leaving, that seems to be the time that they remember, oh, right, some of this is archival. It's not just immediately relevant. How is my legacy going to be preserved? We've had really good luck that one of the people who works with the commissioners happens to have a background in history. She doesn't work in history anymore, but she has connections with folks who work in archives in the community. She's an old friend of Terry Baxter, who I'm sure many of you remember from council and other SAA events. And so having that connection has really helped. So having that good ally in that group that's doing a lot of the history making. And then also the collaboration with IT. So that's been really, really helpful for us to get the financial support for having archive it, increasing our size if we need to, of the cap on our account. And just having that understanding that when a program goes defunct or is no longer financially supported, that we're alerted so we can crawl that site, even if it wasn't maybe on our radar previously. And that's one of those situations too, where a lot of the commissioners will start an initiative while they're in office, put out a website, engage with the public, and then when they leave office, if another commissioner doesn't take that up, it may just go away. So that's usually a time when we come in and, you know, capture not just the electronic records, but we'll also capture the website and social media. And sometimes we don't even find out there was a social media account for some initiative until the commissioner is leaving and that initiative is determined to no longer be going forward. It's also been helpful for us, the collaboration with IT, so that the web team lets us know when they're doing big changes to the website. That, you know, maybe if we're capturing something once a week, oh, hey, by the way, you may want to do an extra call or something along those lines. And also just even before we signed up with Archive-It, we had them using the WARC standard for whenever they were removing content to do a big website refresh, which I guess we're pretty lucky that we do get to do website refreshes even on a county budget. Actually, one more component that's come up since I put the slides together in the collaboration with IT. So we're considered internal services because a lot of what we do is the public records management, the kind of day-to-day records. So we're in the same department as IT, so we're technically under the deputy CIO. And in the recent conversations I've had with him, he's been supportive of extending our services into doing more digital archives capture. And so I'm excited because, like everybody else, I haven't really had the time to focus as much on web archiving as I'd wanted to, or as I've wanted to. And I have this nagging in the back of my head of compliance, like you're out of compliance because you're not capturing enough, you're not refining things well enough. That having that connection with IT is like, oh, we understand, you know, this is preserving the work that we're doing as far as the money we're putting into our web development services. We don't want to lose that information. So the collaboration of, you know, the time spent with our web developers and the time spent with our communications office, that if we can capture the content they're putting up online, that's a good return on investment for from the perception of the deputy CIO. So building internal awareness, we have a web team that has several different components. So there's the people who do the actual web development, but then there's also the content creators, and we have a robust group of folks who do content creation. And so I'm a default part of that group. So I go to the meetings, and anytime somebody, oh, we're thinking of doing this new initiative, whether it's social media or developing a new part of the website, particularly if it's going to be some odd subdomain that you wouldn't really notice is added to the website, that I'm there to be like, hey, let's talk about retention and archives. And then now they know, like I've been there long enough raising my hand and making my point, that the web development team is building this into their documentation. So, you know, here's how you review content that's up on the site. Here's when you take it down, like when it's no longer relevant. But remember retention, and as part of that retention, what's historically relevant. And then also connecting with the social media account approvers. Since we're government, we need to make sure everybody who's posting things online is doing things in a public-friendly way, you know, not cursing or saying anything that shows unfair bias along those lines. So that those social media account approvers know about our service and they let us know. So currently they're adding it to a list that I'm not very caught up with, but that helps build my case for an additional employee. So future questions, some things that we're working on, which this actually got talked about a lot today, so I'm glad to know I'm not the only one who's thinking about this, but non-county press about our elected officials. There's been a couple scandals in the last several years that have generated a lot of press, and those are the sort of things like the same-sex marriage decision where there's a lot coming out in publications, but we're not capturing that currently. And what would capturing that look like? What would any copyright concerns be? You know, do we want that? We could lock it down just for internal research, which would be fine because we do have folks using the archives for policy, internal policy development. And then as I said, our need for a dedicated electronic archivist, you know, not just for web archiving, but also for, as has also been said by many other folks, working on our portals for access. What is that going to look like ultimately? We're using archive space, and we could have a lot more information up on there. And there is also a public-facing platform for our electronic records software. So yeah, those are some of our future questions. So for me, any questions about building a case for web archiving for your institutional repository or otherwise?